So how is everybody feeling heading into the holidays? Everyone at their peace. Everything's ready to go. It doesn't seem to work that way, does it? I mean, we all love the holidays. But somehow, this time that we love, or at least in our mind coming up to it, we think we should love. The holidays become times of anxiety. The holidays become times of worry. The holidays become times where our grief over lost loved ones is magnified. The holidays can highlight our financial insecurities. Maybe just the thought of having your extended family over your house raises your blood pressure. So it's hard in this season that's supposed to be a season of peace and thanksgiving. It's really hard sometimes to feel peaceful. It's really hard sometimes to feel thankful. So it's into this season, it's into this time, as we're just about to launch into all this, that I wanted us to hear the words of Jesus to his disciples from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. Familiar words, the do not worry passage, where Jesus tries to call the disciples to think about the way God cares for all of the natural world. The upshot of all of this is that the disciples should see how God takes care of all the things in the world, and to stop worrying so much about what they are going to need. Jesus says, seek ye the kingdom, and then all this stuff will be added to you. And don't forget that the body is more than food and clothes. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus' call to not worry is a bit idealistic. I haven't met too many people who I would say have succeeded in stopping worrying altogether. If you're one of those people, I'd love to talk to you after the service. But Jesus seems to think that we should have the ability to trust God, to not worry, to seek first the kingdom, and then trust that everything else is going to come to us. But is this something we can trust? Is this being naive? Because we look at the world around us and we do see that believers do go without clothes and without food. We do see that believers even lose their own lives for myriad of reasons. So what exactly does Jesus mean? What does it mean that God is going to provide for us everything that we need? And how in the world are we going to be able to be thankful in the midst of all that? Well, Jesus, when he's speaking to his disciples, I do not think he's promising them that they're going to get whatever they want. Jesus is clear they're going to get what they need because God knows what they need. But if we want to actually qualify what that is, we're going to have to think hard about this. Because if you remember to when Jesus was drawn out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, he had been fasting for 40 days. And the devil comes to him and tempts him and says, hey, Jesus, I can tell you're hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? Why don't you turn these stones into bread and be filled? Jesus' response is, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus is faced with this temptation of needing bread to live. But it's Jesus' understanding that in this time and place, what's more important than eating, even if he needs it to live, is to obey the will of God. So when Jesus speaks to his disciples, he knew that they were going to be itinerants. He knew they were going to be going from place to place, but they weren't going to have much. They weren't going to necessarily know where their next meal was going to come from, when they were going to come across the next target or something like that to get new clothing. Jesus knew that if they spent all their time worrying about what was going to come next, what they were going to need, what they were going to wear, and everything else, that they were not going to be able to carry out the mission that God was calling them to. They need to remember that God is going to give them everything that they need to do His will. But there was no promise in here that that meant that they would be protected from every problem. Paul helps us think about this in Philippians 4:6. When I think he's relying something on what Jesus said here, when he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Sounds very similar to "do not worry." But in everything, by prayer and petition. So prayer, coming to God to request with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. So I think what Paul is showing us here is actually the outworking of what Jesus was talking about when he's telling his disciples not to worry. That doesn't mean disciples ignore all the trouble that's in your life, all the things that you think you need, but bring it to God. Trust in God and do it with thanksgiving. In all things, Paul says. Now this is the hard part for us, right? Because we're used to, when you were a child, when were you told to give thanks? It's please and thank you, right? So please comes first, then you get what you want, then what do you say?
Thank you.
Thank you. Is that what the equation seems to be here for believers with God? No. Believers are to be thankful in all times and all circumstances, even when they don't feel like they're receiving what they're getting. And that is the hardest thing for us to wrap our heads around, because we're really good at giving thanks to God when we are healthy. We're really good at giving thanks to God when we have wealth, or when things seem good. But in fact, the model for the Christian life, what we hear out of Jesus, what we hear from Paul here, is that no, we need to be thankful in all circumstances. And I actually think our ability to be thankful in all circumstances directly relates to how much we are going to worry. Because I have a question for you. Is it easy for a truly thankful heart to coexist with a really worrisome heart at the same time? When's the last time you were just overflowing with thanksgiving to God and you were consumed with anxiety and worry? It's pretty hard. There's something about being thankful that refocuses off ourselves and our current circumstances to God and God's promises and what God has done. There was a man by the name of Martin Rinkert. He was a minister in a little town called Ehlenberg in Germany some 350 years ago. He was the son of a poor coppersmith. But he managed to work hard and become educated. And in about 1617, he ended up becoming the pastor of his hometown parish. A year after he took that position, the 30 Years' War broke out. And his town was in the middle of it all. Not long after that, in 1637, the plague broke out and swept across the continent, hit Ehlenberg. People were dying at a rate of 50 a day. And this man, Martin, was called upon to do most of this burying. Records say in all over 8,000 people died in this time. including Martin's own wife. Martin finally died about 11 years later, just 1 year later after the conclusion of the 30-year war. His ministry spanned 32 years. But first and last, from the beginning to end, his little town was involved in conflict, war, and plague. You would think that this man would not have much to be thankful for, would you? But in fact, it is this man who wrote some words that I think will be familiar to you. He wrote, "Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices." Recognize the words of that hymn? Now thank we all our God. In fact, we're going to sing it in just a few moments. But this man, somehow, with all of the tragedy, with all of the trouble, I don't know what his life was like. I imagine he had some moments of intense anxiety and worry. But what seems to have prevailed in him was not his worry and his anxiety, but his sense of thankfulness. And so our goal is, rather than living in a state of worry, to live in a state of thanksgiving, a state of thanksgiving that does not directly correspond to our circumstances. A state of thanksgiving that goes before and after God provides what we need. It's living in a state of thanksgiving that is not naive or just willfully ignorant of pain and suffering, but a thanksgiving that has known much suffering and pain. And in the midst of it, is still able to give thanks because we can see the presence of God in the midst of it.
Amen.
So friends, my prayer for us this week is that we would not be consumed with worry and anxiety. But instead that we would seek first the kingdom. Instead that we would live in a state of thankfulness for what God's done, for what God promises to do, for God's presence with us, even in the hardest things of this life. And we should do all of it remembering that these words about not worrying, they come from Jesus, who was certainly not spared trouble. Who was certainly not spared trouble, but gave up his life, knowing that even death itself had no power over the good and ultimate plans. Well, God, teach us to be thankful in all times and in all places. Anchor our minds, Lord, in your good plans and your constant presence. May our hearts be filled with thankfulness. We ask for Jesus' name.